Hello, everyone, and thank you for attending the annual Capacity Procurement Mechanism Cost Allocation discussion today. My name is Jody Cross, and I'll be facilitating the call. We would like to let you know that the call is being recorded. We will be taking questions at the end of the presentation, and the questions that, if we're not able to answer them, we do ask that you submit them in written form on a Word document to the initiative's comments webpage by the close of business of the 16th. And we have scheduled a follow-up call, which we will then discuss them. And with that, we will go around the room and let you know who, who's on this call, and we will start it off.
Carl Newsom.
Neil Miller.
Ginger Quintavala.
Anthony Ivankovich.
Gautam Kato.
Carolyn Mixa.
Delphine.
Mark Richardson.
David Zlotlow.
John Gooden.
Jeremy Malekos.
Tom Kusha.
All right, and with that, we'll turn it over to Gautam.
I just want to add to what Jody said. This is not a policy initiative call or a tariff stakeholder call. This is more of an informational call. We just want to interact with the LSEs and let them know about the annual CPM that just happened 2 weeks ago. So for 2018, the ISO designated 3 units part of the annual local CPM designation. So Moss Landing Block 1, Encina Unit 4, and Encina Unit 5 got a CPM designation for all the months in 2018, starting 1st of January and ends on 12/31. The CPM designation was based on scheduling coordinator's failure to demonstrate compliance with the individual efficiency check, as well as the collective efficiency in a given local area or in a given tax area. So in compliance with the local capacity technical study criteria. So the thing with Encina, there is South Park Energy Center, which is scheduled to come online sometime next year. It's currently a unit under construction. So the moment South Park Energy Center is eligible to get an NQC and be shown on the month ahead RA process, meaning it has to be shown on a supply plan as well as an RA plan, then the corresponding CPM designation for the Encina units will be reduced appropriately. So let's say if for a megawatt to megawatt basis, that's what I meant. But then the Cost Analysis Center has to follow the compliance requirements in terms of getting NQC, meeting the RA submission requirements, which is 45 days before the start of the month. Only then we would reduce the CPM designation on the Encina unit. So right now, I think the scheduled COD date for Cost Analysis Center is sometime October or November of next year. Not next year, we are in 2018, sorry, this year. And just some information on the designation details. Again, the 3 units, Moss Landing Block 1 and Encina 4 and 5. So Moss Landing are designation for 510 megawatts, the tax area is PG&E. Reason was local reliability issue. Moss Landing had a CSP offer, so that's why you're seeing a price difference there. So the 490 megawatts had a CSP offer at $6.19 kilowatt month. And then the remaining 20 megawatts was the extended offer, which is settled at the soft offer cap, $6.31 kilowatt month. And then Encina 4 and 5 did not have a CSP offer, so they get settled at the soft offer cap, which is $6.31. So let's move on to the cost allocation for the load serving entities. So since the CPM need was determined based on the individual and the collective efficiency, there are 3 scenarios that can lead to in terms of cost allocation. So I'll just walk through those scenarios now. So scenario one is wherein the individual deficiency, which results from the LSERA showings in a given tax area, is less than the CPM need. So in this example, look at the individual deficiency here, which is a total of 70 megawatts. So our CPM need that was determined part of the LCR study criteria was 100 megawatts. So the individual, the sum of the individual deficiency is less than the actual CPM need. So therefore, we would just allocate the cost to the LSEs that are short. So in this scenario, only LSE 1 and LSE 3 would pick up an individual CPM allocation. And then LSE 1, 2, and 3 would pick up a collective because the total need is 100 megawatts, but the individual deficiency was only at 70. So the remaining 30 megawatts is split across the three LSEs based on load share ratio. So that's how we end up with the 5, 10, and the 15 megawatt under the collective allocation column. The next scenario is where the individual deficiencies are greater than the CPM need. So the overall individual deficiency in this scenario, if you look at the individual deficiency column, is 170 megawatt, but the actual CPM need was only 100 megawatt. So we would just allocate to the LFUs that are short, and there is no collective allocation here. And the way we calculated the individual allocation here is CPM need times the individual deficiency divided by the sum of the individual deficiency. So it's a ratio of the individual deficiency. And that's how we ended up with 29.41 megawatts for LSE4 in this example. And then the last scenario that we can have is a collective deficiency only. Now, let's say all the LSEs met the requirement, or maybe some LSEs over-procured. There was no individual deficiency at all. Then, since the CPM megawatt is 100 megawatts, we would just allocate based on the collective methodology. So that would be the CPM need times the load share ratio for each LSE. The load share ratio that we are using is what we got from the CEC. That was used part of the annual process. So that load share rate. That load share ratio will not change and remains the same for all months. But the allocation quantities for the individual and collective can vary every month because that depends on the RA showing, as you can see. So in this example, I picked months August, February, and November. You can have different scenarios. So you can have months where there is only individual deficiencies, but you can have months where there is both collective and individual. It depends on the RA showing. Moving on to the next slide. So we got a lot of questions from LSEs about all the credits. How is an LSE going to get credit because of the annual CPM? So the good thing about this is the LSE need not do anything on their RA or supply plan. The credits will be taken care of by the ISO and will be updated in the CIRA system. So for the local credit, what we plan on doing is, in the previous slide you saw the individual and collective megawatt allocation. So if you sum that becomes your credit towards meeting your local requirements. So in this example, let's say the local requirement for an LSE is 100 megawatts before we did the CPM. And then that LSE, based on the RA showings, gets a 20 megawatt individual allocation and a 10 megawatt collective. Then the total megawatts that's allocated to the LSE is 30 megawatts. So we would reduce your local requirement by 30 megawatts going into the month ahead process. So in CIRA, starting from March 2018, this LSE would now see a revised local requirement of 70 megawatts, not 100. So that's how you're getting credit towards meeting your local requirement. Now, with respect to the system, next slide.
Next slide.
With respect to the system requirement, the LSEs will get a credit towards meeting the system RA as well. Currently, the CIRA system is not set up to handle CPM credits for the system RA requirement. So we're going to use RMR as a default credit. So on the UI in CIRA, you will see an RMR credit in the obligation report, but that's actually the CPM credit that you're getting, which was due to the annual CPM designation. So again, the credit will work the same way. We're going to sum the individual and collective megawatts, and then we're going to reduce your overall system requirement by whatever is your total megawatt allocated. And that will show up as an RMR credit. So again, no action required from the LSE as it is. Will show up in CIRA, so you will just submit your RA and supply plan as the normal process. And you don't have to worry about any of the CPM credits to be shown on the other tab, because we are already going to set up the CIRA system to account for all the credits. So this data will be set up for the March compliance month going forward. So for March, the T-45 is coming up, so you should be able to see the updated values when you submit an RA plan in CIRA. So with that, I think we can open up for questions, if anyone has any other comments to add.
Okay, we'll take the first question.
Caller, your line's been muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Mike McGuffin from CES. I do have some other questions, but just initially, there are several callers that are trying to dial in, but apparently there's a limit set on the number of participants. Can you guys?
Correct, there was. We're working to change that.
Okay. Do you plan to pause the call until they can dial in?
Well, give me 1 second. Okay. Thank you so much for holding. We actually are going to continue. Excuse me. Continue. And since it is being recorded, we will be providing the recording.
I just have to say that's pretty poor form, but we'll move on. Proceed.
Again, I'm sorry. But what is your question?
Well, that was the initial question. The second question was, can you go into a little more detail on it looks like you're proposing a two-tier allocation for situations in which the LSE deficiency was not or was less than the CPM'd capacity. Can you explain where in the tariff the ISO has the authority to implement a two-tier allocation?
Yeah, under Section 43A211, that allows us to fill RA local capacity deficiencies, and 43A22 allows us to cure any collective deficiencies.
Yeah, having reviewed both of those tariff sections, I don't know that gives you the authority to implement what you're showing, at least the logic here, where you're splitting it between a load share and a individual deficiency share. So anyway, I'll let others ask questions, and I guess we'll follow up with the questions that participants that weren't able to dial in have.
Okay, thank you. We'll take the next caller, please.
Moving to the next question in the queue. Caller, your line's been muted. Please state your name and go ahead.
All right, hi. This is Jason Cox with EDF. We have a specific question on page 5, the scenario 1, where and the first part of the question is LSC2 actually long local RA or not?
That's correct. LSC2 is long by 20 megawatts, so they don't get an individual CM allocation.
Very good. So they are long, so they are over compliant compared to the local requirement, and yet this example has them being allocated 10 megawatts of the deficiency. Why is that?
That's part of the collective allocation. So let's say all the LSEs did meet the requirement, which is similar to scenario 3, where you can see that all the 3 LSEs are long. There's no individual deficiency, but we figured out there was a CPM need of 100 megawatts based on our study. And that 100 megawatts is now allocated load share ratio, and that's why you have a collective allocation, even though the 3 LSEs did meet the local requirement.
Well, exactly. I want to clarify that. They weren't long. They were compliant with the local requirement. The LSE number 2 in scenario 1, the LSE is actually over-complying, and he still gets an allocation. That just seems very unfair.
We can address, we'll address that further on the 25th.
Thank you.
Can you submit the question though in writing?
Moving to the next question in the queue. Caller, your line is muted. Please state your name and go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Doug Johnson with Calpine Energy Solutions. I have a couple questions. One has already kind of been addressed, and I'm not sure why the ISO is implementing and assigning costs to LSCs that are not responsible for shortfall capacity. That's one question, so maybe you guys can elaborate why you guys chose that path. And the second one is how does this framework or procedure sync with the month ahead showing templates that the LSEs are required to file with the CPUC, of which their allocations were potentially different in the year ahead showing from a local RA requirement standpoint?
Could you please submit those of those questions in writing so we can answer them on the 25th?
Yeah, I sure did. I sent them already.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on 1 second, please.
This is Catalin in planning, so let me try to explain a little bit the process of collective deficiency. That's the reason why you can have somebody who is already compliant with the local allocation can get some additional cost allocations. When we do the studies to come up with a minimum local capacity requirement that gets split to the LSEs to do purchasing, basically, we dial in the most effective units to mitigate the constraints that we have on the grid. Now, the LSEs are not obligated to buy the most effective units that mitigate the constraints. They can buy any unit they want in the entire TAC. It doesn't even have, they don't have to comply with the sub-area requirement. They don't have to comply even with the most effective units for the local requirement. They can buy anywhere they want based on the amount of the minimum LCR requirement that we come up with. So when we take all of the showings together, and we are taking all of the LSE showings together, regardless the reason was purchased, for local, for system, for RMR, for CPM, the reason does not matter. We take all the resources, we put them back in the base cases, we run all the contingencies again. It can happen that even if everybody comply with their numbers, we still have needs not meet on the system because they purchase less effective resources. That's really nobody's fault. You know, everybody did what they're supposed to be doing. However, ISO is still short. ISO has the collective backstop procurement role where we would can go buy additional resources and the cost gets split on a low share ratio to everybody because it was really nobody's fault.
Just to back up what Catlin said, the collective deficiency provisions have been in the ISO tariff for a long time, going back to the original CPM, ICPM, TCPM, and RCFT. So we've had this ability for some time now.
Hopefully that helps answer some of the other questions that people have out there.
And then regarding the follow-up question, I think even that was more related to the month-ahead process, right? So the CPM was done in the annual time frame, and the LSEs are going to get a credit for those CPM megawatts. So that was the last two slides in my presentation, wherein the LSEs are going to get a credit in meeting their local requirement, as well as a credit towards their system requirement. So from an LSE point of view, you don't have to do anything while submitting your RA plan. So you would just follow normal business, and then the allocation or the credits will show up in CIRA. For system, it will show up as an RMR credit, so you can track that, so you know exactly how much credit you got. And then your local requirement will be lowered by that amount. I hope that answers the second question. Yeah, and it's applicable only March going forward.
Yeah, this is Jason Cox from EDF again. I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into the most or best unit to solve the constraint that you're modeling. From looking at the local capacity analysis reports, I don't recall it ever identifying the most effective unit. It gives a list and says any of these qualify as meeting that requirement. Is there any way to determine which unit is the best to solve that constraint? And if so, would you still be subject to the you know, being penalized for being over compliant or compliant?
So this is Catalin again. If you just basically read the front of the LCR report, that's the conclusion you get. However, every LCR report has actually effectiveness factors in it. So if you go in this last report for 2018, I believe they're all at the end of the report. The previous year's report had in the local sections. So there is a section talking about, let's say, the Bay Area, and there is a section talking about South Bay Moss Landing area. Right at the end of that section, there was an effectiveness factor, and there is a link there to either an ISO operating procedure or an effectiveness table. For 2018 is at the end of the report, and you could see the effectiveness factors. However, the LSEs are not, as I stated before, they're not obligated to buy either by sub-area constraint or by the most effective resource. When the RA program was designed, it was designed such that to give a bigger choice to the LSEs that they could go by anywhere they want within a TAC to meet the minimum compliant number, all knowingly that there is a chance that by doing so, you could be buying less effective units.
Yep, I've did find the table indeed. So your guidance is, or the information you're providing is, you need to go shopping for the most effective units, but that still doesn't ensure you that you're not going to get an allocation because not everybody does that, right?
That is correct. There is no obligation to go buy the most effective units. Otherwise, we'll have to share a piece of each unit to each LSE.
Okay. Another reminder. Go ahead, Rita.
Well, we did get one more question in. Caller, your line's been muted. Please state your name and go ahead.
Hi, this is Cinema Clean Power. A couple of questions. One, with the credits that we're receiving, are we to interpret that now that we actually need that to be compliant for our individual templates, or are we long those credits? And then secondly, my question is, we're getting charged for January and February, and you know, we weren't able to use those at all.
So for the second part of the question, that's right. It's just the nature of this process. Because for January and February, the cutoff to submit your RA plans, like I think for January is sometime in November, around I think the second week of November, and we haven't even had a chance to complete the annual assessment for 2018. So there's no way we can allocate a credit for the months that have already passed. And then for February, also, it falls in the same time frame because T-45 falls on second week of December. And I think it was the last week of December that we were able to designate these units as CPM. So that is the reason why we said the credits will only apply for March going forward. It's more of a timing issue with the process we have.
So we won't be charged for that? Is that what you're
Sorry, what was the question?
So we won't be charged for January and February?
No, you won't be charged for January and February. You will see a CPM cost allocated to the LSE based on the methodology we just described.
Okay, and just as a reminder for everyone on the phone, press pound 2. To enter the queue, and if that doesn't work, please send me an email, or you can submit your questions through the initiative's comments mailbox. Any of those should work.
And then we did get a new question in. Call your lines are muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jesse with Constellation Energy. My question, back to, I believe, is slide 5. Under scenario 2. I just wanted clarification on, I believe it is like LSE 5, where their individual deficiency is 20, however their credits just shy of 12. So presumably they're still going to be short or have a deficiency and the monthly filings. Can you explain how that is going to be handled?
Yeah, you're right. You will see that if, let's say, they don't procure to meet that new requirement of 188.24, you will see that they're not compliant. So they will be shot in the month ahead process.
Okay, so the expectation then is for the LSC to go out and procure or to try and procure that, you know, residual deficiency from other, I guess, LSCs that were received in allocation?
That's right, yeah. Because, see, these numbers are based on the annual RA showing, right? So we are calculating the credits based on the annual RA showing, and we are lowering your local and system requirement for the month ahead process. So the last column, it says final local requirement. That's going to be the local requirement for all of 2018. So the LSCs need to comply and meet that number. And if they don't, then you're not complying with the ISO tariff, so you'll end up being deficient in the month ahead process.
Okay. I guess the way that, you know, I'm thinking about this as well is that the fact that there was a CPM needed in the first place kind of shows that there's a lack of supply. So the fact that, you know, there's still going to be a deficiency after this process. You know, I don't necessarily see that fixing the problem.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. There might be some deficiencies still that are not resolved, so we'll have to deal with that in the month ahead process.
Okay, thank you.
So this is the next question in the queue. Caller, your line's been muted. Please state your name and go ahead.
Hi, this is Mike from CES again. I was just curious if you could explain a little bit about the local area assessment. Are you using a single value as you do in the annual study for to determine the local area need? So are you looking at a single peak value, or are you looking at a different load shape to determine that local requirement?
This is Catalan Transmission Planning. The need is determined exactly the same way as it has been communicated to the load-serving entities on what the minimum requirement was to purchase. The same LCR studies that were done at the beginning of the year that established the requirement, all we do is we take literally the same base cases and we put back whatever the load-serving entities have purchased. All of the purchases from all of the LSCs, regardless of the reason they purchased it, local system, RMR, CPM, we put them right back in the base cases. We run the same contingencies with the same criteria, same methodology, everything is the same, and then we see if we can meet the criteria or not. If we do not meet the criteria and we need to purchase additional resources, then that's what it results, special CPM.
So remind me, and I apologize if this is obvious, but is there any accounting in the local study process for monthly conditions, or do you guys simply take the snapshot and apply the logic based on a single base case?
Yes, the LCR criteria, methodology, and assumptions has been the same since year one. It's been a 1 in 10 load forecast peak for that local area. Within any TAC area, there could be multiple local areas that peak at different hours of different days of potentially different months. We study each one of the local area at whenever they peak, and the requirement and the validation is applied to that same peak.
Okay, so you're essentially doing an annual CPM for what could be very different actual conditions month to month. So basically the question is, were you considering month to month changes in conditions when you decided to do an annual 12-month CPM?
So the annual process is the process we're in, and this is the study assumption methodology for the annual process. There is another process, there is the monthly process. We haven't got to that monthly process, and no actions have been taken on the monthly process. That's a totally different process. This is the annual process.
So is there a scenario in which the CPM could be called off, for lack of a better word, if the monthly conditions don't warrant?
We can definitely add more.
I think that's the answer people are going for. Okay, so there's basically no consideration of individual monthly conditions when you guys are doing an annual CPM. So you basically bought an annual strip based on a single month's peak that has nothing, potentially a very different outcome if you were to look at it month to month. Okay, thank you.
Caller, your line's been muted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Noah from. Will we see the same credits on the system side?
That's right. You'll see the same megawatt quantity. So in slide five, okay, yeah, we're on slide five. So whatever credits you see here. For example, in the first scenario, LSE1 gets 25 megawatts, so you'll see the same credits being applied for local and system requirements.
Did you hear what I said?
Are you still there?
Yeah, hey, I asked requirements.
Hey, Noah, you're cutting in and out.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, we can.
Same credit on the flex side?
No. This is only for local and system.
Is there a reason why the ISO chose not to get the flex attribute?
Noah, we're getting about every 2 to 3 words, and then it's skipping 2 or 3 words. Can you submit your questions through an email?
I've got a list of about 15 questions.
We only heard teen.
Sorry, yeah, we only heard teen on that one, so we're like, how many?
All right. Well, I'll figure something out. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Noah.
Call from a different phone.
And at this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Okay. So if there are no additional questions, please submit the – if you have any remaining questions that we couldn't get to, like Noah, please submit them in a Word document to initiativecomments@kaiso.com by the close of business day Tuesday, which is January 16th. We will be sending out a market notice – or actually, not a market notice. We will be sending you the information for the next call, which will be January 25th.
I will send out the recorded call. So they can distribute to anybody with
this. If you would like a copy or the recording, please let your...
We could just send it to the same distribution list that received the invite, I think, and then they could distribute accordingly.
Make sure everybody gets it.
There you go. Okay. I just know that there were people that weren't on the distribution list. So, and if anyone does want it that doesn't receive it, let me know. It's jcross@kaiso.com. All right, and with that, we'd like to thank you for your time and have a good afternoon.